Well, here we are again, summer prayer meetings. I think if I do my math right, I think we're in like week 14. So it's been an all summer deal. It's gotten better. Trust me, first few weeks, nobody was praying. And then I heard last week, it was awesome, and you guys were knocking it out of the park, like getting up here praying it for your friends. So let's give you a round of applause. You're awesome. Cool. So, again, the reason why we're doing this, I know there's a couple people that you haven't been with us before, or the sixth graders, you haven't been with us for very long either. So we'll go over it. Why we do prayer meetings. A move of God in this generation and the gospel for your friends. And so to break that down a little more in case you're not quite sure what that means, what that looks like for you. There are thousands of students in the Springfield area alone that are between the ages of 6th through 12th grade. That's your demographic. Those are your friends, your peers. And so that doesn't even take into account all of the college students, elementary school, anything. That's just 6th through 12th grade. There are thousands. And so how many different schools do we have represented here in this room? Like, if you go to a Springfield school, raise your hand. Okay, if you go to a school outside of Springfield, raise your hand. If you go to a private school, raise your hand. If you're homeschooled, raise your hand. Okay, I think I covered everybody. Did anybody get left out? If you go to AGTS, raise your hand. Thank you, Letitia. All right. So all of you that aren't in seminary, you know hundreds, if not thousands, of students that you come in contact with every day. Especially now the school started, there's even more of an opportunity for you to come in contact with people who don't know Jesus. And that's really what we're all about here. We can have tons of games, tons of cool prizes, tons of events, or competitions out the wazoo. But really, all we're doing here is wanting to give people the opportunity to come to the relationship with Jesus. And so everything we do is going to boil down to that. So if you don't bring your friends to church to come to an opportunity with Jesus, then it's just you. We're just here having a good time. We're just playing games, and we might as well just pack up and close the doors because we're not having a real effect on the people around us. It's just the same church people coming time and time again, which we love you all. You all are awesome. But we want your friends that don't know Jesus. Because at one point or another, even if you have been raised in church your whole life, you were that person who didn't know Jesus. And so without Jesus, you wouldn't be here right now. And without Jesus, you wouldn't be going to heaven. And oftentimes we take that for granted. And it's like, oh, you know, I've known this all my life. Yeah, I was somebody who grew up in church and took it for granted too. And so it's real easy to just go throughout our day. We hang out with our Christian friends. We go to our Christian coffee houses. We listen to our Christian music. We go to our Christian bookstores. And everything we do is Christian, 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 Christian. And we never go outside of that bubble to influence the people that aren't Christian, that don't know what Christian music is, that don't know what a church is, that don't know what that aren't going to be going to a Christian coffee house. And so many of you, you know, may say that you don't know somebody that doesn't know Jesus. But if you go to a public school, I guarantee you, first off, you do. Because they're everywhere. Again, there's thousands of people around you. If you go to a private school, even if it's a private Christian school, I guarantee you there are people there that may be going to a Christian school but don't know Jesus. And there's other people in your life, even if you're homeschooled, that you're going to come in contact with that don't know Jesus because they're everywhere. Everywhere. Like, you walk down the street, you're going to meet somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And that's what this is all about, is reaching those that don't know Jesus. And a move of God in this generation means that you are going out and you're taking an account for the people that are around you that don't know Jesus. And you're taking account for the gospel reaching those friends that don't know him. So it's the two go together. They're separate, but they're equal in that you can't have one without the other. We can't have a move of God in this generation unless the people that already know Jesus go out and start reaching others. That's really what it's all about. That's what it boils down to. And so If you want to reach under your Bible, we won't read it just yet, but flip over to Romans 11, verse 11. So, Romans 11, not verse 11, chapter 11, my bad. 11, chapter 11, verse 11. Page 8, is it really? That's awesome. I'd forget. Man, it's like Bible numbers there. It must have a meaning, like awesomeness. 11, 11, 11. Yeah, it did. All right. So this being a new school year is an awesome opportunity for you to reach out to your friends that don't know Jesus. You know, you could go back to school, go to your Christian clubs, go to FCA, go to Youth Alive. Is that another one? Well, I don't know. I don't remember what all the Christian clubs were in school. But I know FCA is still one that's around. So you could go to all your Christian clubs. You could go to all your Christian this and that and all the other. And you could not influence anyone who doesn't know Jesus. What we're encouraging you to do is to reach out to those that you know. I mean, you know the people that are living in sin. You know the people that are out partying on the weekends. You know them. Those are the people we want you to reach out and to pray for and to talk about to Jesus about with and to, you know, to love. Because loving Christians all your life is great, but loving Christians all your life isn't going to get more people to go to heaven. And so that's what we're here about. We're not here to stay small, to be just a small group, a small church. We're here to reach those who don't know Jesus. And so this verse in Romans chapter 11, I thought was really good. We got several verses we're going to read. So buckle up, because it's going to be a doozy. All right, so starting in verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their future means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I'm speaking to you, Gentiles, and as much as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I may magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. When you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in, that is true. They are broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note, in every kindness and severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. So here, just to kind of lay that out for you a little bit, Paul's writing a letter here in the book of Romans, and he's telling the people, the Jews, who have become conceited and thinking that they are the only ones who can come to know Jesus, and they weren't really caring about the Gentiles. And he's telling them, if you're not going to do it, someone else will, and the Gentiles will come into the family and into the tree. That's a little metaphor he was using there, of Christ. And they'll make it stronger. Somehow the word is going to get out, and people are going to find out about Jesus. But if you're not going to do it, then someone will take your place. And so it's your opportunity and your job to go out and reach those that you come in contact with for Jesus. Because them coming to know Jesus is going to make that tree stronger, and so that more people, they can then go out and have people that come to know Jesus. And it's just a line effect. You know, the person who led my parents to Jesus then had an effect on them leading me to Jesus, which will then have me having an effect on a long time from now, leading my kids to Jesus. So the train continues. The people that you impact will then impact the lives of others, and it'll carry on until more people have come to know Jesus. And it all stems back to you stepping out of your comfort zone, stepping out of your bubble, and reaching those around you that don't know Jesus and don't have that relationship with him. So this morning, we're going to go through our normal schedule as far as what we do here. And how we pray here is first the Acts model, and that's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So adoration, that's telling God, God, you're awesome. God, you're holy. God, you're mighty. God, you're great. You're good. You're awesome. All the things that build people up, build them up, buttercup. And then confession. So confessing your sins, saying, God, I've messed up. God, I'm not perfect. God, you know me. You know every part of me. You created me. Just telling him who you are in the deepest parts of you and confessing the things that you haven't shared with anyone else, things that you only share with God. Thanksgiving, thanking God for the good things he has done. So thanking him that you're here and alive. Breathing is a good thing. So the last time I checked, if you're alive, you have something to be thankful for. So thanking God for your life, thanking God that you have a relationship with him, thanking him for all the good things that he's done for you. And then supplication is our requests. So God, I need you to do this. I need you to move in my life in this way. So that's supplication. We use these prayer boards around the room. I don't think they've been written on in a few weeks, but let's go over them again just in case you don't know what they're for. So passion, something, if you're passionate about something, for me it would be I'm passionate about people in the world who don't have food, water, or sustainable life sources. So I could go over there and write a prayer on the board and say, God, I'm passionate about this. Lord, I pray that you would touch these people and that you would provide them opportunities, provide me with opportunities to be able to reach them. And then say you don't know what to pray about. And you're walking around the room and you see that and you're like, oh, I could get on with that too. Okay, God, help those people around the world that don't have food, water, clothes, houses. And then that gives you something to pray about. Campus, well, we know what that means. If you've got a school, if you go to school, whether that's your home, Rogersville, Nixa, Ozark, Republic, Springfield, all five of the Springfield schools. Write prayers about your campus, intercession, deep prayers that are just stirring up inside of you, whatever that might be, you can intercede about it. You can intercede for someone else who, may not be a Christian, who is still having a need. Your city, wherever you find yourself, there's people in your city, thousands upon thousands, no matter how small or big your city is, there's people there who don't know Jesus. So there, you can write prayers and say, Lord, I pray for Springfield. I pray for the downtown area. Lord, I pray that you would help the people there that don't know you. God, I pray that you'd give me opportunities to reach them. Someone else can come along, read it, and be like, oh, yeah, there are people downtown Springfield that do need Jesus. Okay. Healing, pretty self-explanatory, whether that's spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. It's covered there. And then what's the last one? Nations. Okay, there are nations where people don't have the access to the gospel. So if there's a nation that you're really big into, whether that's Japan, which they're going still through a lot of turmoil after the earthquake. So God, I pray for those people there that have gone through a lot of stuff over the last year and a half or so. And God, I pray that you would restore their lives, Lord, that you would bring opportunities to them. You can write that prayer there. And then again, someone else can come and see it and be like, yeah, I kind of forgot about Japan. They do need Jesus. And they can pray for it too. So we're providing you with opportunities where if you don't know how to pray, you can go over there and find a way to pray. We like to pray the scriptures here. We believe the Bible is the best way to pray because it's God's word and we're just saying it back to him. So when we get to the praying for your friends portion today, we'll have you grab a scripture, come up here, and that leads into the last part. We pray baseball style. So one person will have the bat, the mic, they'll be on bat, and then we'll have somebody in the batter's box waiting, and then we'll have everybody else on deck, and you just line it up, and you just one after another, you swing at it, you hit it, and you get a home run. And so you just pray. It doesn't have to be long, but just have your verse, read the verse, pray your prayer into the verse, and then everybody's good. So this morning, as the band starts to come, I would encourage you to start to think about the people in your life this year, in your school year, because if you haven't started school yet, you're starting in a few days, so it's just around the corner. If you have started school, you know your classmates, you know the people you're going to come in contact with. If you're homeschooled, you know the people you come in contact with still on a daily basis, whether they're family, whether they're just family friends, people who don't know Jesus. And so I would encourage you to start thinking of ways that you can impact their lives in a positive way for Jesus. Whether that's something small as in praying for them today, or something like inviting them to come to Battle of the Sexes Wednesday night, giving them an opportunity to come to that relationship with Jesus. Because most people, when asked, say that if they had been asked, they would go to church with a friend. But most friends don't ask their friends to church because they're afraid they'll say no. But most of your friends, if you ask them, would come to an event, would come to a church service, and a lot of it's just fear. But it's stepping out of that boundary, stepping out of that comfort zone that's really going to see the change come in your generation and going to bring that move of God to your generation and the gospel to your lost friends. Because we can't do it on our own. Pastor Justin and myself, we can't go to all of your schools. We can't meet all of your friends. We can't do services for all of your friends every day. We just don't, there aren't enough hours in the week and enough energy in our bones. But you can. You can be that person that day in, day out, you're going to see them 5 days a week for not the next 9 months until summer rolls around again. You're going to have opportunities to pour into their life like no one else will. You're going to see them more than their parents. You're going to see them more than anyone outside of school. You're going to have an opportunity to impact their lives. So this is the best place to be able to reach out and to witness to people is in your schools right now. And so it's up to you whether you use that opportunity or you waste it. I would encourage you to make a point this year to reach out, to love those around you, to serve those around you, and to give back what's been given to you. If you've been given the greatest gift ever, which is Jesus and salvation, why wouldn't you want to give that forward? So if you want to stand up, the band's going to lead us in some opening worship today, and then we'll kind of get going with our prayer meeting. And so I'm going to start the day off with a prayer and then just enter into worship with the band. God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that you created each and every one of us with a purpose and a plan for our lives, God. And Lord, I thank you for giving us all the opportunity to have a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that as we go about our days and our weeks, God, that we would take every opportunity that you give us to pour out into the lives of those we come in contact with. Lord, that we would love people with your love. And God, it's not something we would just keep to ourselves, but Lord, we would reach out of our boundaries so that we could win others for Christ. We could win others for you. And so, God, just give us strength. Give us the words to say this year as we go through our days. And Lord, be with us and give us grace. We love you, Jesus.